said, God made me laugh. When's the last time you said that? God made me laugh. God, you made me laugh. I am laughing. God, you made me laugh. Oh, God, we, like Isaac, we're supernaturally born again. We're new creations. And we go, oh, I'm trying to make it through this life.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. On the program today, Pastor Bill continues his study from the Epistle of Galatians with the conclusion to the message, We as Isaac. So let's listen in.
Ishmael, that name means God hears, okay? And then the other son was born to the free woman, Isaac. His name means laughter, and he was born unto Sarai. Now, but he who was of the bond woman was born according to the what? According to the flesh. And he of the free woman through promise. So what does Paul do? He's going to give us a contrast here. It's all doctrine, loved one. He's giving a contrast to the birth. Two sons, different moms. One was born by promise. Man, can you imagine God showing up and you can't have children and saying, oh, next year, you know, about this time, you're going to have a son. Think about that. You're going to have a daughter. You know what I mean? Isaac was born supernaturally. He was born by the promise and the spirit of the work of God. Amen? Okay, but this other boy here, one was born according to the flesh or by works. We know what that was. That was an Ishmael. You have to be careful of having an Ishmael, loved one. Because, see, Abraham and Sarai, what did they do? They tried to do the work of God. They tried to make the promise or fulfill the promise by the works of their own flesh or in their own strength. Or Sarai said, you know what, I can't have any children. I'm still barren. God promised we were going to have a kid, and it's not going to happen. Here, take my Egyptian, this maid, and go into her. You know what I mean? And raise up seed. That was a work of the flesh. That wasn't trusting God, okay? But the one that was born of the promise, Isaac, man, that represents who we are. We are as Isaac. We are supernatural people, aren't we? Absolutely. See, Isaac was born of God's power, of God's promise, of the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Isaac, his name means laughter, the joy, the salvation that we have as well. And not only that, Isaac was born by grace, and the reason I say that is because he was born before the law of Moses was given. Does that make sense? So he was defending against the Judaizers' false teaching. Now look at verse 24. He says, which things are symbolic for these, meaning these two women, Hagar and Sarai, are the two covenants, are literally, they represent the two covenants, which would be the covenant of Abraham and the Mosaic covenant. He says, and the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage or slavery, slaves to the law, he says, that's Hagar. So that's where earning your salvation, trying to make it come to pass on your own strength and so forth. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. And that is, of course, the birthplace of the law of Moses. And corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, meaning in Paul's time, which now is, and is in bondage, meaning in bondage to the law, with her children. So Paul uses the Jerusalem of his day, okay? And he says, you know, Jerusalem, the temple, all the priests, the law that's there, they're, man, the kids there, the offspring, they are all in bondage. Why? The reason that they were in bondage is because Jesus came to his own, John 1:11, and his own received him not. He came to his own people, the Jews. They didn't want anything to do with him. They rejected Jesus, the Messiah. They rejected grace. They kept the law, and they were in bondage. That's what Paul is teaching here. He says, but there are now another Jerusalem. See the contrast. One on earth, one in heaven. Watch. But the Jerusalem above is what? Is free. There's only grace there, loved one, which is the mother of us all, meaning all the children that are born again by grace. Legalists don't make it, okay? So Jerusalem above, that heavenly Jerusalem, Remember what Jesus did. Jesus died. Jesus rose. Jesus ascended. The Hebrews teaches that Jesus ascended into heaven with his own blood after he had purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of God. And what did Jesus do with his own blood? Thank you. Amen. He poured it out on the mercy seat. What is the mercy seat? It's what covered the Ark of the Covenant, the real Ark of the Covenant in heaven. And there you will find the golden pots of manna. Remember Aaron's rod that budded. But the main thing that we find there, the Ten Commandments. He poured out his blood, all the laws that man, that we have broken, Jesus fulfilled. Amen. Oh, he completely cleansed us from all of those things, loved one. And now when we look at that, man, not only are our names written in heaven, Philippians 3:20 says that our citizenship is in heaven from which we eagerly wait for Christ to come. Amen. Now, verse 27, for it is written, and he's going to quote Isaiah 54:1. He says, for it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now, we know that that scripture has to do with the children of Israel when they came out of exile, okay, out of captivity, restored, going back to their land and so forth. It also has to do with the millennial reign. However, Paul uses this to teach us something. Whenever it talks about those who are barren and so forth, that's Sarah, loved one. Those who produced the children, that was Hagar. So what does this scripture represent for these two women and the law and grace and so forth? What Paul is saying that though Sarah was barren most of her life, okay, she now has more descendants than Ishmael ever thought about having. Amen? See, the heavenly Jerusalem, is it here now in heaven? Is heaven a real place? Absolutely. The book of Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 18, talks about Sinai. It says, listen, you've not come to the mountain there in Sinai that cannot be touched. And boy, it's burned with fire and blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of the words to those who heard it. They begged that God's word, the voice of God, should not be spoken to them anymore. Because it says they could not endure what was commanded. In other words, there at Mount Sinai, the giving of the law in the book of Exodus, and Moses is up there receiving the law, and the people says, I can't take it. I can't hear it. I don't want to hear the voice of God anymore, and the shaking, the cloud, the smokes, and all the rest of it. And it goes on and it says, oh, they couldn't endure it. Even if a beast touches that mountain, it's stoned. It's shot with an arrow. In other words, don't you come to God. You can't approach God. He's holy, 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 he says. And it's so terrifying. Was the sight that Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. Now, Paul is telling those guys, you want to go back under the law? You want Hagar to be your mom, your mother? Hagar represents the law. Hagar represents Sinai. You mean, you go there, it'll tell you how to live for God. But you know what? Hagar, Sinai, the law, will never give you the power to live for God. It'll never give you true life. You have to be born again. Amen? So he's saying you need to run from that. But it says for us, he says, but you, meaning us all believers, you've come to Mount Zion, not Mount Sinai, Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You see, we can't approach God. You're going to approach God by the law, and it's not going to work. The law cannot justify. The law cannot remove our sin. The law only can reveal our sin. Amen? Boy, you go to Mount Zion, God says, oh, come. You come unto me. Everybody who's labor, everybody who needs, you just come right unto me. Now look what it says, verse 28. Now we brethren as Isaac, there's our sermon. We as Isaac, watch this, are children of what? Have we received the promise of Abraham? Yes, all Abraham did, he believed and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. What did he believe? God says, so shall your descendants be. He believed. That was it. We believe the same thing. Lord, just be the Lord of my life. Save us. And God, certainly, if you're sincere, will certainly do so. So we, just like Isaac, was Isaac supernaturally birthed? Come on, you can talk to me. Yes. Let's look at us. Were we supernaturally birthed? Absolutely. All you could do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And what? And if you truly did that, you instantly, new creation. Old things passed away. All things have become instantly new, loved one. Listen, we don't owe our salvation to any effort on our part at all. We did absolutely nothing. We're like the thief on the cross. We're up there. We can't move. We can't do anything. We never taught Sunday school. We were a bunch of stinking robbers and thieves. Amen. Lord, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom today? Oh, I love that. Today, you will be with me in paradise forever. That's salvation by grace. Oh, God, save me, and he will save you, loved one. But as he who was born according to the flesh, look what he did, persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, so it is now. Now, listen carefully. The first baby named in the Bible before they were born was Ishmael. Ishmael means God hears. Remember Genesis 16, 11 will tell you the story with he and Hagar. Now, the second baby, it was named before birth, was Isaac. Laughter. Now, Ishmael was born again by works, by the power of the flesh, trying to fulfill God's promise. Now, from him came the Arab world, remember? Yeah, Muhammad and Islam, they all came out of the Arab world. Now, Isaac was born by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and he, of course, the Jews are the descendants from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, but they can't live by side, can they? Do the Jews and the Arabs live side by side today? Is there contention? Absolutely. See, nothing has ever changed. In Genesis 21, 8 and 9, you remember whenever Isaac was born a couple of two or three years later, you know, Sarah weaned him, okay? And so the day that they would have a party back then when that happened. And so Abraham, he throws a big party. And Ishmael is about 17 years old at that time. Little Isaac, about three, maybe two, I don't know. And what does he do? He starts bullying him. Starts mocking him, starts making fun of him. Boy, Sarah, boy, she gets upset, okay? You see, whenever an Ishmael mocks an Isaac, we're Isaac. We're as Isaac. We're supernaturally born again. Then you know what's really happening? To mock an Isaac, as we are, is to mock Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what he was doing. Ishmael resented the plan of God. See, you can't mix law and you cannot mix grace. You can't mix flesh and you cannot mix the spirit. Whenever we get over to Galatians 5, 16 and 17, we're going to find out exactly what that means. Now, watch verse 30 quickly. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? I love that. It says, cast out the bondwoman. Who is the bondwoman? Hagar, okay, she represents Sinai. She represents the law that we could not keep. It says, cast out the bondwoman and her son, Ishmael, meaning the person who is born after the flesh and not after the spirit. For the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Question, go study this out. Question, homework. Did God make any covenant at all with Ishmael? Well, you don't need to go study it. You're exactly right. None at all. So what happens in the life of a Christian is now you have a Hagar. Now you have an Ishmael, work of the flesh and the law, and they creep back into your life. Well, no wonder if that's the case, loved one, no wonder you're not laughing. No wonder you're not as Isaac. No wonder there's no chuckling going on or pigeon laughing, whatever that means in your entire life. You know? Come on. No, no, no. Law and grace, they'll never, ever live in the same house. Ishmael has to go. The law has to go. We're saved by grace. Sarah demanded it. Remember in Scripture? He told Abraham, get her out of here. Sarah demanded it. Now listen. And God supported her decision. Why? Because there's only one way to be saved. And that is Christ Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. So Paul closes, and look what he says. So then, brethren, we're not children of Hagar, or the bondwoman, or of slavery, of the law, but we are free. Oh, man, that's my life verse. Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John 8:32. Amen. Oh, listen, Paul says, Why in the world would you go back to be a slave or an Ishmael? Hagar's not your mama. Get rid of that right now. You're not from those people. Abraham made a choice. You either had to kick out Isaac, you're going to have to kick out Ishmael. Paul's saying the same thing. You either going to have to, if you're going to be saved, you can only be saved one way. You're going to live under the law? Then there, go live it. But you're in trouble. No one has ever been saved under the law. It's always been by faith, by grace alone. Now, so he says, you must choose. Do you want to be born a slave or do you want to be born again? Now, that's why he says, and we'll pick this up on Sunday in Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or the freedom by which Christ made us free. Do not be entangled again in the yoke or with the yoke of bondage. In other words, don't let anyone make you a slave again. The law or anything else. Now, that's the theme of Galatians. What makes a person a Christian? Well, now we know. It's faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. Now, I want you to listen to me as I read you several scriptures before I close, okay? When God told Abraham that he was going to have a son, listen to what Abraham did and what he said. Genesis 17:17. He says, when God told Abraham he was going to have a son, Abraham fell on his face and worshiped the Lord. No, he fell on his face and laughed. Can you believe that? He laughed. He says, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a son? In other words, Lord, I know you don't need glasses, but look at me. You know, I'm in a wheelchair, man. You know, I can't hear, I can't see, and I can't do anything. And look at Sarah. She's pretty, but that walker doesn't get her very close to me anymore. No, do you understand what I'm saying? You know, listen, isn't laughter a gift? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there is a time to laugh. There's a time to laugh. When Abraham fell down, it was the laughter of faith. That's what, as Isaac is, so are we. We should be laughing all the way to the bank. Amen? We should be so full of joy at what God is doing. But what did Abraham do? I mean, he had the laugh of faith. He rolled over in front of the Lord. And he said, okay, look, here's Ishmael. I've got a boy. He's flesh and blood. Why don't just use him? You know what God said? Let me read it to you in Genesis 18:9. And God said to Abraham, where is Sarah, your wife? And so he said, well, she's here in the tent. He said, well, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Now, Sarah was listening in the tent, which was behind him. Just like any woman, eavesdropping, you know how they are. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old. They just weren't old. Listen to this part. Well advanced in age. That means you're dead, buddy. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Now listen to what she did. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. Laughed within herself. That's a believer's laugh. And she said, oh, wow. After I've grown old, shall I have pleasure with my Lord being old also? In other words, he's washed up too, God. He says, and the Lord said to Abraham. Now remember, Sarah's hiding behind the tent. Said, and the Lord said to Abraham, why does Sarah laugh, saying, surely I shall bear a child since I'm old? And Abraham, he's old, said, I didn't hear anything, you know, adjust that hearing aid, Lord. And he says, God says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And at the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I didn't laugh. It says, for she was afraid. And God said, no. But you did laugh. I tell you what, I would have fell over. Yes, you did. God knows everything, doesn't he? Listen, when was Isaac born? Remember, let me read it to you. When laughter, his name means laughter, when laughter was born. Listen to this. Genesis 21:6. Sarah said, I love this. God has made me laugh. Say that with me. God has made me laugh. I love that scripture. God has made me laugh. It's personal. I own it. God has made me laugh. Now listen, not only that, and all who hear her story will laugh with me. For she said, oh, who would have said to Abraham, he's 100, Sarah, I'm 90, I'm going to be nursing children, for I've borne a son to him in his old age. We as Isaac, loved one, listen to me. We are here from A to B, birth to death, hills and valleys and troubles and victories and hurts and sorrows. But I want to ask you why we're not laughing. Why are we not laughing? Sarah said, I'm not laughing at a joke. I'm not laughing because of a comedy. I'm not laughing because of whatever. She said, God made me laugh. When's the last time you said that? God made me laugh. God, you made me laugh. I am laughing. God, you made me laugh. Oh, God, we, like Isaac, we're supernaturally born again. We're new creations. And we go, I'm trying to make it through this life. And I don't know. God might love me. I don't know if you know. And, we're just, you're citizens of heaven. Yeah, all right. What is that? Oh, I just moved in a new $250,000 home. I have three garages and an ice maker. Ah! I'm a citizen of heaven. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Hell's not my home. Oh. Are you following me? Listen, hell is not my home. Hell is not your home. We are citizens of heaven, and not only that, death can't touch you. Listen, does that make you laugh? We can laugh at death. Why? Jesus destroyed it. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You understand? That, you know, when we are on that, we close our eyes. Listen, we can laugh all the way home. Yes. Oh, that valley of darkness. I got a rod. I have a staff. It comforts me. Amen? No, I look and I say, oh, Lord, man, you call me what? You're the light of the world. Well, all right. Is the Dallas Cowboys going to win tonight? No. I'm for the Saints. No. It's a joke. Get it? I'm the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're a city that sits upon a hill that cannot be hidden. Do you understand? Dear Lord, we're sons and daughters of God. We're heirs of God, meaning that God is our inheritance. We're co-heirs with Christ. Absolutely nothing created, no matter what it is, heaven, hell, anywhere, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Does that make you laugh? It comes against you, you go, no. You don't understand. Nothing can ever separate me for the one who died for me and who loved me and who said that no one will ever be able to snatch you out of my hands. No one. There has to be something that goes, just a something coming up, something just rolling and going, this is, God is making me laugh. I have been imputed that which belongs to another and given unto me. I have been imputed the perfect, spotless, sinless record of Jesus Christ. He's put it into my account. God has, Ephesians, God has accepted me in the beloved. The beloved meaning Jesus. What does that mean? It means that God loves you the exact same way that he loves his only son. Do you understand? Man, we should be laughing. We should be, God loves you. That right there can break our hearts. God, you love me. You're for me. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. Our sins, far as the east is from the west. We've overcome the world. We've overcome the wicked one because we're in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Every promise in Christ is yes and again, amen. Amen? And they belong to us. I go, oh God, I am laughing. God is making me laugh. How about this one? You, out of all the people in this city, out of all the churches in this city, out of all the believers in this city, God has chosen you to be his whirlwind and one of the major outreaches that's going to be occurring. I have to buy a Walmart card. Do you understand? Oh, God, make me laugh. I want you to make me laugh. I want you to make this church laugh. I'm not talking about that stupid stuff. I'm talking about that laugh that comes when we say, oh, Lord, you chose a little baby. You named a little baby. Think about it. You name him laughter, and the future redemption of the world rested upon a little baby named laughter. I go, oh, Sarah laughed, Abraham laughed, and God, he has the last laughter.
Well, Pastor Bill continues his study in Galatians on tomorrow's program, and we hope to see you once again. Amen? Thanks, as always, for the privilege of your time. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.